Welcome to the St. Anne Roman Catholic Podcast, coming to you from Gilbert, Arizona. We pray that God will bless your time as you listen.
Love one another as I love you. Verse 12 from chapter 15 of the Gospel of John, somewhere in the middle of the passage I just proclaimed. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A few weeks ago when Father Dan asked me to preach, he asked me for a joyful, spiritually uplifting Easter season homily. Fortunately, there is plenty to be joyful about in our readings today. Let's start with our first reading. It is the Easter season, so instead of a reading from the Hebrew Scriptures, our first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles written by St. Luke. The passage opens with Cornelius falling at Peter's feet to offer him homage. Peter tells him to get up because he is not God, just a human being. You see, Cornelius was a Roman centurion and is considered the first Gentile convert to Christ. Peter tells him that God shows no partiality, that whoever fears God in any nation and acts uprightly is acceptable to him. Now, just a brief aside, the church teaches that outside the church there is no salvation. That is, all salvation comes from Jesus Christ, the head, through his body on earth, the Catholic Church. Does not mean that only Catholics can be saved, just that the graces required for salvation reside in the Catholic Church. Now, that others who are outside of the church can be saved is evident in our passage from Acts this morning. Any God-fearing person anywhere acting uprightly, that is consistent with what the church calls the natural law upon which much of church teaching is based, can be saved. St. Luke goes on to tell us how the gift of the Holy Spirit was then poured on the Gentiles too, and for that reason, Peter baptized them. The Catechism of the Catholic Church explains in paragraph 761, "The gathering together of the people of God began at the moment when sin destroyed the communion of men with God and that of men among themselves." The gathering together of the church is, as it were, God's reaction to the chaos provoked by sin. This reunification is achieved secretly in the heart of all peoples. In our reading from the first letter of St. John, we hear how God is love, and that anyone who loves knows God. We also find an echo of John 3:16. God sent his only Son into the world as expiation for our sins, as he explains afterward, so that we might have life through him. The Catechism goes on to say in paragraph 221, "By sending his only Son and the Spirit of love in the fullness of time, God has revealed his innermost secret." That is, God himself is an eternal exchange of love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and he has destined us to share in that exchange. That is joyous news. In keeping with this trend of good news, our gospel passage opens with Jesus telling us, "As the Father loves me, so I also love you." He tells us this so that his joy may be in us and that our joy might be complete. And he hints at what he intends to do for his disciples and for us. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. The Catechism explains that Jesus is the model for the Beatitudes and the norm of the new law. But it is in this same passage we must recognize that while these gifts are free, there are some conditions. We shoulder some responsibility in all of this. And what is it that Peter Parker's uncle said in Spider-Man? "With great power comes great responsibility." Well, with great gifts comes great responsibility. Listen to the words of Jesus. "You will remain in my love if you keep my commandments. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I chose you and appointed you not to sit around and gaze at your navel, but to go and bear fruit that will remain." And finally, the verse with which I started this little reflection. "One, love one another as I have loved you." So with every promise, Jesus reminds us that there is a concomitant response or responsibility required from us. Keep the commandments, love one another, go and bear fruit. Jesus is asking no more of us than God asked of him, and much less, actually. Again, from the Catechism, our Lord became man in order to do his Father's will, and even God the Father, by giving up his own Son for our sins, manifests that his plan to reconcile us with himself is one of benevolent love prior to any merit on our part. Thus, for this reason, even the least characteristics of Jesus' mysteries manifest God's love among us. Jesus' death is a gift from God the Father himself, for the Father handed his Son over to sinners. At the same time, it is the offering of the Son of God made man, who in freedom and love offered his life to his Father through the Holy Spirit in reparation for our disobedience. Perhaps you think this is a tall order, keeping the commandments, loving one another, and bearing fruit. It probably is, but you and I are not in this alone. If only we would turn to him, we have the promise of Jesus. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Ask the Father for the grace, the fortitude, and the wisdom to know and to carry out his will for you, and to be less focused on your own will. We have a good and loving God waiting to hear from you. Do not be afraid to call on him in your need. And while I tell you, remember that he loves you, may I let this also be a reminder to myself that he wants you and me to, as Jesus says today, to his disciples, to love one another as I have loved you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the St. Anne Roman Catholic Podcast. For additional podcasts and media, visit us on the web at www.stanneaz.org. Again, that's www.stanneaz.org. St. Anne, pray for us.